Don't think about the purpose of a shoe until it doesn't work. And that video went viral just a week and a half ago when number one Duke was playing North Carolina, and North Carolina upset them, knocked him out of seat for being number one. And Zion Williamson, who is a freshman sensation that is expected to go number one in the draft, completely tore through his shoe. And you might not say, well, you may think that's not a significant deal, but for Nike, it was a pretty big deal. The value of their company dropped $1 billion because of that single incident. And you think about Zion Williamson, who is still not in the active lineup for Duke University as they go into March Madness. That's certainly a concern. And you think about the possibility for draft. And you think about how many times from here on out will he hesitate wondering if his shoe is going to hold. We don't think about the purpose of a shoe until it doesn't work. Sometimes, same is true about us. As we began this 42-day spiritual growth experience, we're going to be asking the question of what our purpose is all about. Why am I here? Raphael Samuel is an Indian from Mumbai. This last month, he instituted a lawsuit against his parents. He is suing them for bringing him into the world without his consent. He claims his parents were selfish by having him, quote, for their joy and their pleasure. He went on to say he didn't, quote, ask to exist. None of us ask to exist. But the reality is, we do. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to pick. So now the only question remaining is, why are we here? We begin this 42-day journey together to discover and answer that very question. You've heard the story from which this storyline was taken about the woman who was trying to correct some children. She was very frustrated, and she meant to say, what in the world are you doing? But her syntax got tangled around, and she asked them, what on earth are you here for? Same could be asked of each of us. Why are we here? Well, the next few moments, we will be asking that question, seeking some answers as we begin this pilgrimage together. I want you to hang on to a little phrase throughout this message, and I hope that you'll hang on to it all throughout this series. Phrase is this: we all matter, but that's not all that matters. We all matter, but that's not all that matters. I want to break that up into two components and visit with you for a few minutes about that today. First of all, we all matter. Let that exclamation point sit with you for a moment. In the world of texting and social media, we oftentimes wrestle with just the right emoji or punctuation. So take that exclamation point very seriously. We all matter. No matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, you matter to God. Some of us need to hear that today. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you matter to God. I want us to look at a few verses of Scripture, so if you will take your Bible and open them with me to a couple of passages that help us to be reminded that we all matter. For some of you, this will be repetitive review of Scripture. But let it sit freshly with you today as you hear the words of Scripture spoken to you, reminding you that you matter, because you will never understand the purpose of your life, nor will I, unless we truly believe that we matter to God, that we are not an accident, but God has ordained that we would live at this particular time in this particular place. John chapter 3, verse 16, we read these very familiar words: for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. goes on to say, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. If you have wrestled with self-esteem issues like I have, specifically in the early part of my life, you know that you have heard this verse of scripture, but looked at it through a different set of lenses. You have heard this passage say that God loved the world, but somehow that didn't include you. That was me for a number of years. I believe that God loved everybody else. I believe that he came, he died for us because of his love, but somehow I was excluded. I was that kid that always felt a little bit awkward. Always wondered when people were laughing, they must be laughing at me. When I would excel on the athletic field and people would cheer, I would almost feel as if it was sympathy or they were somehow mocking me for what was going on. And I wrestled with this idea that God really loved me. And for some of you here today, that's what you need to hear. God loves you, that you do matter to God. And that the cheers you hear are for you coming from God Almighty. Look at another passage of Scripture with me that encases one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It's Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Listen to these words. It says, you see that just at the right time, when we were still powerless, and Paul is writing to Christians explaining what has happened, what Christ has done for us, that just at the right time when we were absolutely powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. None of us could have figured out how to earn our own salvation because that's impossible. None of us can. It goes on to say in verse 7 that very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. Now, we wouldn't willingly give up our life for just anybody, but there is a remote possibility that if someone were really, really special, we might give up our life for them. But it puts that in contrast to what God did for us. It says in verse 8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave up his life while we were still sinners. Immersed and entrenched in our sin, rebellious against him. That's how much we matter. It goes on in verse 9, it says, since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God loved us so much, and we mattered so much, that he came and he reconciled us even when we didn't ask for him to do it, because we matter. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you matter to God. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 through 16, if you would turn there. The prophet is writing to God's people, and he is explaining a very important truth about the fact that they matter to God. This is a universal principle for all of us who follow after God. It's found in Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse 15. It says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. It's a very strange passage of Scripture when it begs the question, would a mother reject her baby? Seldom do you ever see that happen, but God says, even if that were possible, I will never forget you because I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. We have all written something on our hands, haven't we? In desperation to get a name or a number or a piece of information, we've grabbed a pen, there's no paper, and what's the best thing to write on is your hand. But God says, I just haven't written your name on my hand, but I have engraved your name on my hand. When you translate that to Calvary, you recognize that with the nails driven through his hands, God was engraving your name on his hands. Many of you have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ. The movie that came out in 2004 that so violently depicts what Jesus Christ actually went through. And in one very pivotal scene, when the hand of Jesus is being nailed to the cross, you see a hand gripping a nail and a hammer driving the nail into his hand. What a lot of people don't know is the hand that was being used to hold the nail and drive it through that hand was the hand of Mel Gibson, the director. And he was making a very significant point to say, it was my hand, it was that nail, I was the one who drove the hammer into his hands. And Jesus, dying on the cross, demonstrated by the nail prints in his hands that he has engraved your name on his hands. You matter that much to God. So no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you matter to God. Second thing I want us to see this morning is that we all matter, but that's not all that matters. We need to hear that we matter to God, especially for some of you that feel like you are so far removed from God, or you feel like God could never forgive you of that one sin, or those two or three sins, or that thing that you did, or that thought that you had. But no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you matter to God. But that's not all that matters. On page 21 of the book that we're all reading through over the next 42 days is a statement by Rick Warren that says, it's not about you. That's the beginning statement of this book. It's not about you. It's not about me. Your life is much more than you. It's much more than me. What is our life about? Imagine landing the job of your dreams and then letting that be the end game. Uniquely, you were the one that was chosen to replace Tim Cook at Apple. Or after Warren Buffett said that he really was going to retire, he named you as the heir apparent. But you never showed up for the job. You just spent the rest of your life telling people, I got the job. You see, we all got the job when we were born. And life is the job description. It's not just that we matter, but that God wants to use us to matter in this world. God expects us to do something with our one and only life. And the reason we started off by saying that you matter is because for some people, they use that as an excuse not to matter. They believe that they don't matter, and they allow inferiority to overwhelm them so much so that they believe that they have nothing to offer the world, so they never matter. They just focus on their own inferiority and allow that to be the driving excuse for their life. But we all matter, and we've seen that through God's word. You are loved unbelievably, unconditionally by God. And because of that love being infused into our lives, he wants us then to matter to the rest of the world. Last Saturday, Jim and Candy Duke were walking along the beach in Corpus Christi, and they saw a bottle laying against the sand. They went over and they noticed that something was inside of it. There was a postcard instructing them to mail this card immediately when they found the bottle, and they would be rewarded 50 cents for their endeavor. It was one of 1,796 bottles that were dropped across the western half of the Gulf of Mexico over the course of several days in 1962 and 1963. These bottles were a part of a, quote, drift study by the U.S. Bureau of Commercial Fisheries. This bottle had been drifting for nearly six decades in the Gulf of Mexico. For some of us, that feels like our life. We've just been at drift for who knows how long. And the call for us today is to believe that you can pull out of the drift and your life can matter. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture that remind us of that. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, we read some very important words for us today. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Ah, but the blessed man is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in God. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit." It's a picture of God's desire for each one of us, that we wouldn't be like a barren tumbleweed out in the desert, but God would make us like this vast, lush tree by the riverside that continually is green and bearing fruit. God expects something from us. He wants us to bear fruit. Turn with me to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, we read Jesus talking about the importance of staying connected to him because of his expectation of what he wants from our lives. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 8. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, it says, Jesus speaking, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." You see the picture there. God is saying, my expectation for everyone is that their life would bear fruit, that it would matter in the world. And if your life isn't mattering, if you're not doing anything with it, God says, you stand the chance of me pruning away and cutting you out. But if you are mattering, God says, then I will prune you back so you can be even more fruitful, because that's his desire. And it says in verse 8, it says, "This is to my Father's glory." That thing that you'll read about this week is that we are here to bring glory to God by our lives, the way that we live. It says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I don't know about you, but that verse haunts me. That verse haunts me because I see there that I glorify God by bearing much fruit, and I'm not sure how much fruit my life is bearing. And God is calling us to bear much fruit for him, that our life really does matter. It doesn't mean that you live a grandiose life that is printed up in magazines and books, but it does mean that you are mattering, you are carrying out things for the kingdom of God. I'd like for you to see another couple of passages of scripture as we wrap this up. Romans chapter 11, if you would turn there. Romans chapter 11 continues to reiterate this, all this whole point. Is that, yes, we matter, but that's not all that matters, because God has called us to matter. Not just that we do matter, but that we will matter in the world. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 and following. We oftentimes pick up Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2, but we fail to realize that that is in the context of what is written in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. Paul, this is called the doxology. And Paul is just beside himself with explanation of what God has done. And he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths, they're beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that he should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, to God, be the glory forever. Amen." And then we have the therefore. It says, "Therefore, because of all of that, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The beauty of that verse is that we can be transformed through Christ. And that is a message that is not in our culture today. Don't judge me because I cannot change. Don't ask me to change because this is the way I am made. And the tragedy of the message that is pervasive in our culture is you can't change. You're going to be an angry, crotchety old man the rest of your life. You're going to be a witch the rest of your life. You pick which gender that is. You have no hope of change. That's the message of our culture. And God's word says we can be transformed. Beautiful picture of that is out on all the telephone poles. You see these transformers up on the pole. What the transformer does, it takes useless electricity and it transforms it into electricity that can be used in your house. Because if that same electricity came off the wire without ever hitting the transformer, you wouldn't be here today. It would have fried you to a smithereen. It is useless electricity until it's transformed into something useless. And that's the picture of what God has done for us. I am the most useless individual in all the world without God. But with God, I become useful and I can matter. And that's what the message of the scripture is, the message of the gospel is. We can be changed. In Romans 8:29, we love Romans 8:28, talking about God causing good things to come out of bad things. But the message of Romans 8:28 is God does all that so we can become like Christ, that we can be made into the very image of Christ. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to realize that we matter so that we will matter. Because he wants us to matter in this world. When Reese Witherspoon was accepting the 2006 Oscar for Best Actress, it was a role that she played characterizing June Carter Cash in Walk the Line. As she was making her acceptance speech, she mentioned something that June Carter Cash said regularly in her life. People would ask her how she was doing. And rather than giving the conventional, "I'm fine," she would reply, "I'm just trying to matter." And the actress went on to say, "I know what she means. Just trying to matter." God doesn't want us to just be fine. He wants us to spend our days on this earth trying to matter for his kingdom. It was Leo Tolstoy who said, "The only significance of life consists in helping to establish the kingdom of God." Friends, we all matter. And that's why you should take time to speak to the people around you on your pew before you leave. That's why you should take time to get to know your neighbor. That's why you should take the extra few minutes to speak a word of encouragement when you feel rushed and busy. That's why you should look beyond yourself and realize it's not all about you. That you do matter. And the reason you matter is so you can matter to the world. And as we go through this series, we'll be talking about this very thing. You matter. Now go matter. Love you all. Thanks for listening. God, I pray that you would help us to truly matter for your kingdom's sake. You have demonstrated through your word, through the life, death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we all matter. Help us to settle that score today if it's one that we still wrestle with. May this be the day that we drive down the marker and no longer ask, "Do I matter?" We say, "Yes, Lord, I hear what your word says. I see what you have done. I believe now and accept that I matter to you." And that we would leverage that to make us matter in this world. God, I pray for redemption today among any in this room that have never received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That they would hear of the love that you have demonstrated to them. That they would receive that and embrace that and allow you to transform their lives. God, we are grateful that we have been created with purpose. We are not an accident. We just didn't happen to be here. We may have never been able to ask whether or not we exist, but we do exist by your grace. So help us to live this one and only life to the glory of you. In your name we pray. Amen.